Of course, we know the legal side, or at least we're learning the legal side, when the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a brand new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all these things are of God. But we've been looking at the life of Jesus and looking at some of the incidents in his life, comparing that to the process. Because even though we know that the Bible says we're complete in Christ Jesus, there is a working out of that salvation, isn't there? Amen. It is a process. You know, it'd be great, you know, if even though instantly you're born again and you're made a child of God, the working or the walking out of that, the maturity that comes in our lives, it is a process. And remember we looked at Gethsemane. We talked about Gethsemane. We said that there at Gethsemane was where Jesus laid down his human will in conformity to the will of the Father. And that's where it begins with you and I. This is where so many Christians, wonderful people, don't misunderstand me, born again, spirit-filled, going to heaven, but they never really grow into maturity. They never really find who they are in Christ because they never begin at the beginning place. And that is, they never come to a place where we submit completely my will to the will of heaven. Amen. That's where it's got to start. You know, Gethsemane was a place of an olive press where they would harvest the olives. They would put it into this press, and you know, and they would usually use a donkey or something. They would walk around this thing and put pressure on it, and of course the oil would come out. And the oil, of course, that oil represented many things. One of the things it represented, though, was consecration. When they wanted to set the priests apart, they would anoint them with oil. You read over there in Psalm 133. And I mean, boy, when they anointed with oil, you better be glad we don't do it the way they did it in the Old Testament. Because, man, they poured the oil over them. It must have been a couple of quarts. Because they poured it over him till the oil went all the way down to his feet. Bless God, they knew they were anointed. But it was a place of that. And it's the same way with us. And remember where Jesus went. Three times he went. And he prayed. And you read it in Luke's gospel, it said that he was in such agony. You think about it, this is Jesus, the Son of the living God, the perfect God-man. But look at how he wrestled with his own human will. Sometimes we forget about the humanity of Jesus, don't we? You know? And rightly so, we do. We emphasize, and we should emphasize, that he was God. He is God. He was the Son of God incarnate. He was without beginning, without end, but he had a human body. There was a human nature. There was that part of him. And he found in that human nature, he had to resist sin. He had to resist temptation. And he had to bring that human will under into agreement and harmony with the will of God. If not, what was he doing praying so hard? Why was, in Luke, he said he sweated drops of blood. Why would Jesus say, not my will, but your will be done? Why would he have to say that if he wasn't dealing with his humanity at that point in time? Amen. I mean, he felt the weight of this thing. And remember, we said that you could not go to the cross. He never would have gone to the cross if he had not first gone to Gethsemane. And here's the thing. I know it's not popular nowadays, you know, and I like to, you know, I do. I like to teach and preach, and I believe in the blessing of God, and we talk about that. But I want to tell you what, there's another part to it. The same Jesus that said he's, you know, that he's going to, you give and it's going to be given back to you, that he's going to bless you and all those things. He also said this. He said, unless you take up your cross. And I want to tell you what, just like Jesus, if we don't come to a place in this process where we submit my will to the will of God. How do I do that? Well, it starts right here with the book, doesn't it? It starts because this is the express will of God in this book, in your Bible that you have there. That's God's will. That's God's word. It's revealed to us. And that is the starting place. As I get into the word of God, as I read that word, as I meditate on that word, as the Holy Spirit reveals it to me, then I have a choice to make, just like Jesus did. And many of us, this is where really we're at. We can't, you know, because he went from Gethsemane to the cross, from the cross to the resurrection, from the resurrection to the ascension, and from the ascension to the sitting down at the right hand of the Father. And now we know we can read over there, and legally, we know in the mind of God, that's what he says has happened, that we're seated in heavenly places. But how many of you know, again, what? Most people aren't living there. Because what? We don't walk out the process. We don't understand the process. You know, it'd be great if God just took, you know, some heavenly anointing gun, and he could just, while you were asleep, he could just go, and boy, you woke up, and boy, you just had it all together. Wouldn't that, I mean, yes, Lord. You know, in the mind of God, he sees you that way, but he understands that down here, what, it's a process. So the first place we looked at is Gethsemane. We've got to go to that place of consecration where we say, God, not my will, but your will be done. And I don't know, maybe you're different from me, but I've had to visit that place many times. Many times I've had to visit Gethsemane, as it were, and say, God, not my will. Because how many of you know you got some of this stuff here?
Yep.
Pinch that stuff right there. You feel that?
Yep.
It's called flesh. Mm-hmm. How many of you know your flesh is not yet redeemed?
Right.
Might have told you that when you were laying in bed this morning. It said, I don't want to get up. I don't want to get dressed. It's too much trouble. I don't want to go to church. You know, or maybe, you know, it said, hey, you got an ache over here. You got a pain over there. Come on. Oh, we need about 2 more hours of sleep. That, your flesh talks to you, doesn't it? And see, this is the thing at Gethsemane. We have to learn to put down that flesh. And it will never happen if we don't first go to Gethsemane and we allow our will, as it were, to be submitted to the will of the Father. The Bible says if you will humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, Peter said that, what's going to happen? That in due season, what? He will, what? Exalt you. And the Bible over and over talks about it. Apostle Paul wrote about it in Philippians over there. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who even though he was in the form of God, well, we're children of God. You know, we can sit back and talk about, bless God, I'm in Christ Jesus and everything. And yet you can still allow your flesh to dominate you. You can still allow circumstance to dictate to you. You can still allow the enemy to lord it over you. But he said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, that even though he was very God, he humbled himself and became obedient. That's where our will comes in, isn't it? How many of you know if it wasn't, until you get your human will submitted to the will of God, it's hard to be obedient. It's kind of hit and miss, isn't it? It's kind of trial and error. It's kind of glorious one week and not so good the next week. Anybody in here, don't leave me up here by myself. And so we talked about that. And then we talked about the cross. That there, of course, with Jesus, he went to the cross not for himself, but he went to the cross, what? For our benefit. Isn't that right? And really, there is a sense in the, not in a redemptive way like Jesus, but there is a sense in which if we do not take up our cross, okay, and crucify the flesh, and that carnal nature that wants to be selfish and self-centered and all that, if we don't take up our cross and crucify that stuff, then what? We will be of very little benefit to others. Isn't that true? And listen, whatever we may say, yes, the Christian life is wonderful. Yes, God has blessings on us. You know, the Bible talks about it. God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have peace and joy. And he wants to meet all your needs abundantly. He wants to heal your body. He wants to do all those things. But I want to tell you what, the essence of the Christian life is more than that. The essence of the Christian life is this, that I lay down my life on behalf of others. This is what we have lost in a great measure in much of the church here in America. People ask me all the time, why is the church growing by leaps and bounds? Why is it growing even in China where they're doing their best to persecute it? You know, They try to persecute it and it just grows all the more. Why is it growing by leaps and bounds in places like Asia and Africa and other places? I want to tell you one of the reasons is that they are not just looking at what God can do for them, but they have learned this secret in a measure. That is, they learn that they have to take up their cross. It's not just about me. It's not just about God blessing me, but it's about me being a blessing. That's where the great joy of the Christian life comes in. Because I'm going to tell you what. I remember when I was in college. I know it's hard to believe I was in college. I was a long time ago. And one of the majors that I had there was economics. And one of the classes, they taught us about the law of diminishing returns. You familiar with that? Probably some of you are. You know, it kind of goes like this, you know. We'll put it on the, anybody in here like ice cream? Chocolate cake, coconut cake, some kind of dessert. Well, you know, you eat that first bowl or that first slice, and boy, man, we had some yesterday at the house, some carrot cake. Boy, that was good. Let's dismiss. No, I'm just kidding. Crucify the flesh, right? You know, but here's the law of diminishing returns is this. By the time you eat the last piece of that whole cake, it's not nearly as satisfying. It's not nearly as delicious, even though it's the same cake, same flavor, everything. And you know, that's the law of diminishing returns. It's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. But what happens is your senses can get so satiated that all of a sudden, you know, it what once was pleasurable, what was good, begins to lose that joy and that pleasure again. And I'm telling you what, that's where a lot of Christians are in America. Man, we have been blessed. I mean, we've gone to seminars, we've got stuff online, on tape, on DVDs and CDs and 1,400 Bibles. We got all of Brother Copeland's and Brother Hagin's tapes. You know, we dip Copeland Hagin every week. Copeland Hagin, not Copenhagen, Copeland Hagin. Forget it. But we're, you know, and that's good, but here's what the problem is. Is we didn't understand what the purpose was for. We thought it was like that first piece of cake. It was just, we just wrung every bit of it. I remember the first time, man, I was in class and Brother Hagin was teaching it. I thought, dear God, I done gone to heaven. I was sitting about where you were and he was up, you know, back in those days, they didn't have all the stuff they had now. Only had a couple of buildings on the property, you know. He was sitting by where you, and he was up here teaching. I thought, it just don't get no better than this, God. Lord of mercy. And then he'd have Brother Copeland in, and then Brother Savelle, Norville Hayes. He'd have all these people in. Man, I'm tearing. I felt like the apostles when they were up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Lord, we'll just build us a tabernacle, but that's so good, you know. And man, you hear about a meeting over here, man. I'd go over here, man. It'd be a prophetic ministry, man. They'd have a word, man. And anybody know what I'm talking about? Dear Lord, I remember now, you know, it probably wasn't the most wonderful Christian behavior, but I remember first time Birmingham, Alabama, I went to one of Brother Copeland's meetings. This is back in the 70s, you know. And I mean, we got there 6 hours early. I'm not kidding. I'm serious. 6 hours early. We were standing there. We were me and my brother, we were the first one right there at the door. And I'm telling you what, about an hour after that, there was a line. And three or four, and by 6 hours, I mean, it was a crowd. And when they opened that door, this was all new to me. I hadn't been saved too long. Lord of mercy. They took off running behind us. They knocked us down. I mean, we go boom, boom, boom. I mean, you know, we thought Christians, you know, we just walked down. Man, no, man, they were jumping chairs. And you know, that maybe that wasn't the right behavior, but I'm going to tell you what, I can identify with the hunger. Why did they do? They were hungry. They were hungry. And you know, what we didn't understand. I'm not saying that we weren't taught it, but we didn't understand it. Maybe we weren't taught, but we didn't understand it. I didn't understand at that time. I thought, you know, you just, man, give me another piece of that cake. A la mode, put some ice cream on it. And all I could think about was, you know, getting fed and being in another good meeting and how good it was and another revelation. And, you know, and something happened though in the process, you know, all of a sudden it was like, it said, open your Bibles to Mark 11:23. Oh, I didn't hear it all. Man, I can quote that one backwards. Let's hear something new. And isn't that what's happened a lot of times in the church? We want something new. We need something new. Something's the matter with the... What happened to all the... You know, Brother Copeland and what happened to my pastor? What happened to these preachers all of a sudden? Why don't they have something new? You know what the problem is we were meant to take what we were taught and begin to go do something with it. But we didn't take up the cross. We didn't crucify the flesh. We didn't go to Gethsemane. So we were just up there eating that cake and eating that ice cream. And we got to that last piece and we thought, man, this is making me sick. Yeah. Yep. And we lost our hunger. Mm-hmm. And so we lost our desire to pursue God. We wasn't important as much to read our Bible and pray. And we go to church when it's convenient. And, you know, we witness if we have to. But we lost the joy of this thing. And I believe a lot of it's because either we didn't know or we didn't follow through on the process we're talking about here. We have to understand that the Christian life, it's not about me getting another slice of the pie. Amen. Give me put some nuts and cherries on it. Isn't that right? Isn't that what church has got to be? Who can serve the best desserts? Oh man, we got a praise band like you've never seen before. You got to come hear it. Man, we got the technology going on here. And I'm not against any of that. But what is that feeding into? It's the very thing we talked about, isn't it? And it's what that you think that's all for God? That's not for God. God don't care if we have a screen up here or not. Don't misunderstand me. Thank God. I'm glad for a screen. But we've got to understand what's really important again. We've got to get back to it. And if you, listen, you want to get your hunger back, you're going to have to go by way of the cross. Because the thing that follows the cross is the thing that we want so badly, but we want it without the cross. And that is resurrection. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Took a long time to get there, didn't it? Sometimes we need a little review, though, don't we? We need to be reminded. I'm telling you, I have to remind myself. Man, make notes and put it on my desk. Man, I remind myself, hey, buddy, this ain't no game. I'm not playing a game. Amen? This is serious business. I'm going to stand before Jesus. You can say what you want to, make your comment if you want to, but I'm going to tell you what, that scares me. It does. Not like you're scared of a snake or something, but I'm tell you what. You read what he did over there in the temple with the money changers, didn't you? You know, sweet, gentle Jesus. You know, in another place, it says, you know, I didn't read it there, but in another place it says he made a whip. Lordy, that can't be the Jesus we know. Jesus wouldn't get mad. He got mad there. Well, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read some this morning. I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified. You can follow along there. We're going to be talking about, get into a little bit about the resurrection. But here's the thing. And I would encourage you, you can go back on our website, gracefulmove.us, and scroll down under audio, and all the messages are there. They're free. You can listen to them there. You can download them, whatever. You know? Burn them and give them away. I don't care. They're there for you to benefit. But you can go back and you can review some of the teaching we had leading up to this. Ephesians chapter 2. Chapter 2. We're going to begin reading with verse 1 there. And you, he made alive. He's talking about you, believer. when you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sins. We talked about that last time. That you were dead. You were dead. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
You were dead. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. Remember we said that death is a separation of anything or anyone from the purpose for which it was created. What happened to Adam and Eve when they sinned? They didn't just drop dead physically right then. But what? They were separated from God, weren't they? And they were separated from God's purpose. And as long as you and I are allowing this carnal nature to rule us, as long as we're selfish and self-centered, even with good things like the things of God, I want to tell you what, you're separating yourself from the purpose for which you were created. Because God has a purpose for you. But you'll never find that purpose unless you go through God's process.
Amen.
You thank God you may be saved and you'll go to heaven. But I want to tell you what, how many know there's more to it than that?
Amen.
And I want to be involved in the more to it. In which at one time you walked habitually. You were following the course and fashion of this world. Were under the sway of the tendency of this present age. Oh boy. Following the prince of the power of the air. You were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, the unbelieving, and who go against the purposes of God. Among these, we as well as you once lived and conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh, our behavior, governed by our corrupt and sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind. Our cravings dictated by our senses, our dark imaginings. We were then by nature children of God's wrath and heirs of his indignation like the rest of mankind. But God. Everybody say, but God.
But God.
Hallelujah. So rich is he in his mercy because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself and the same new life with which he quickened him. For it is by grace, his favor and mercy that you did not deserve, that you were saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. And he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor, and his kindness and goodness of heart toward us in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Boy, isn't that good? We're talking about the resurrection. The resurrection. And of course, you know, I'm supposing that we at least have grasped or are grasping and have begun to do or have done the previous, which is we've gone by Gethsemane, we've gone by the way of the cross, submitting what our will and bringing under our fleshly nature into the obedience of Christ Jesus. Amen? And of course, we know that in order to do that, in order to walk in this resurrected life, we must begin to get our minds renewed. Are you listening? Because here's the thing, you know, I enjoy football, watch football with my boys and all. And, you know, sometimes when they have a player that is exceptionally good and skillful or large, you know, in the interior there, a lot of times what they will do, the other team will do what they call a double team. And what a double team is where they put two people on that one person. And see, here's the thing with us. If we're going to walk in this new life, if we don't get our minds renewed, then what happens is our mind in its old way of thinking, okay, and our bodies, right here, our flesh, will do a double team on the new life of Christ, which is within. And it will pull a double team so that what? Even though all that we've read here is ours legally, all that we've read here, we have been raised up, we have been seated at the right hand, all our trespasses have been forgiven, the enemy really legally has no power over us, but because we have not renewed our mind to the Word of God, Romans 12 talks about that. Then what happens is our mind and our flesh have been trained by the God of this world. Hello?
Amen.
Man, I don't know about you. Before I got saved, you know, I did whatever I wanted to do whenever I could.
Yep.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
That's about the size of it. And, you know, and if you didn't like it, we could go out back and see what we could do about it. You know, because I had a chip on my shoulder. It didn't matter to me. You can knock it off or I'll knock it off. We'll go at it. You know, hey, that's the way it was. I wasn't raised in church. I didn't grow up in church. But here's the thing. You might not have been like that, but every one of us were influenced in our mind. The Bible talks about it by the God of this world. You might not have had a chip on your shoulder, but you know what? The devil may have trained you that, bless God, you wasn't going to forgive nobody. I'll tell you what. I'll forgive them, but I ain't forgetting. Well, you ain't forgiven. I can guarantee you that. If you ain't forgotten, you ain't forgiven. Isn't that right? Or fear may just dominate you. You know, I told you about my mom. My mom was a championship worrier. She was good at worrying. You know, came up through the depression and everything. She got better, in the later years. As you know, I'd begin to share with her and teach her and, you know, the things that God was showing us about the Word. And she got into it better. She got better at it. But, when I was growing up, she was a champion warrior. Well, here's the thing. All of that is contrary to the nature of Christ. Can you see Jesus worrying? Can you see Jesus caught up in fear? Can you see Jesus just saying this to you? Well, I'll tell you one thing, Doris. I'll forgive, but I ain't forgetting. I ain't forgetting. Just you what? See, all of this. See, sometimes we look at the obvious things. You know, we look at the adulterers and the fornicators and those that are alcoholics and those that are on drugs. And all. We look at all that stuff. And and sometimes if we're not careful, we're like, the Pharisee that was praying, I thank God I'm not like any of these. But man, we got that old meanness streak in us, I'm talking about in your flesh. Your mind hadn't been renewed. And bless God, I'm telling you what, God help anybody that crosses you. Because you give them a piece of your mind. Isn't that right? And it ain't the mind of Christ you're giving away. Would that it were. Isn't that right? And listen, that's true, all of us. If we do not what? If we're going to walk in this resurrection life, we got to crucify the flesh, but you can't crucify the flesh and walk in resurrection life unless what? You renew your mind to the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
It's an absolute must. Turn over there to Romans. Let's go ahead. I wasn't planning on reading that, but let's read that. We kind of need to go that way. Romans 12. Verse 1, I'm going to read out of the Amplified again. You read out of what you got. Somebody unplugged the clock back there. I can't believe it's that time already. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies. That's what Jesus did. That's what we have to do. A decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties. What does that mean? It means our fleshly members and your faculties have to do with your soul, your emotions, your will, your reasoning. Those are your faculties. As a living sacrifice. Now here's the thing. Wouldn't it, it might be easier to die the martyr's death one time for the Lord than it is to have to die every day for the Lord. Because, see, he said a living sacrifice. What does that mean? Every day, I got to put this flesh under. How many found out just because you put it under yesterday, you get up this morning, it still wants to do the same old junk? I'm in the wrong church. Notice what he says. A living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated. That's the oil of Gethsemane. And well-pleasing to God. Notice this. Which is your reasonable? Now, see, we read all that. We thought, wow, super Christian. Apostle Paul. St. Peter. No, he said, this is just reasonable. Or what we'd say, ordinary, regular, normal Christian life. Yeah. Rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. In other words, if you don't do something with your body, what is he saying here? He says you're not going to be able to serve God the way that God intended and the way that pleases God. You're not going to be able to do it. And the joy in Christian living is us pleasing the Father. Are you listening? It's pleasing the Father. Listen, when I know I please the Father, I'm telling you what, nothing else really matters, does it? If I can lay my head on my pillow at night and know today I have pleased the Father. You know, I may have been misunderstood. I may have been talked about. I may have been attacked by demonic powers. I mean, everything may be going this way or that way. But man, when I know I have pleased my Father. And he said, this is your regular, normal, rational, intelligent service to God. Amen. Paul, remember what Paul said in Philippians? He said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Well, the only way you can know the power of his resurrection is to first take up the cross. There's no resurrection without death, by definition. And we can, you know, sometimes, you know, as I said, you know, us full gospel folks, we're the world's best at putting the spin on things. Isn't that right? We love to quote the legal side of redemption and pound our chest sometimes. And yet, what? How are we living? What are we demonstrating? Come on. Oh, God, I speak in tongues. I own 12 Bibles. Come on. See how it's so easy. Nothing wrong with that. But it's so easy to get into that, isn't it? It is. We have to guard it. He said, do not be conformed to this world. In other words, if you don't do something with your body, you will be. Amen? The world is body conscious, especially in our culture. Isn't that the truth? Man, everybody wants to look like they're forever young. Oh, I got a wrinkle. Oh. I'm missing some hair. Ah. So we want to, you know, we want to get the implants and get the cosmetic surgery and get all that done. And I'm not speaking against that per se, but here's the thing. It just goes to show you what is dominating the world system. It's we want to be young. We want to stay young. We're all we can think about is our bodies. But here's the thing. He said, here's what you do with your body. He said, you submit that thing. You crucify that flesh by presenting it to God, a living sacrifice. In other words, don't let it do things that it ought not to do. Are you listening to me? Just that simple, isn't it? Just say no. Your body says, oh, I want to do that. No. But see, if you don't get your mind renewed, it's hard to do. Because your mind will say, sounds good to me. Looks good to me. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. And listen, when we let the flesh dominate us in our unrenewed mind, I want to tell you what. You will live a superficial Christian life. Superficial. We pray, oh God, we want to go deep. Do you? It will cost you. But it does pay. But it will cost you. Oh God, we really want to know. Do you? Because here's the thing. If you really want to know what Jesus said, it's going to be this process in your life of working out Gethsemane, the cross, then resurrection. External superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by the new ideas and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself. Isn't that what you want to do? I want to prove this. It's not enough for me to read it in the gospel. It's not enough for me to say, yes, Peter had it, Paul had it, Barnabas had it. Bless God, I want it. I want it. I can't be satisfied with the superficialness of just coming and going through the motions. And we did it again in church, and we did the same old thing, and we sung five songs, and we jumped here, and somebody did a shandai there, and we did this here, and here we are, and we go home. That's super, if that's far as we ever go, it's superficial. So that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What are we after? It's a good question to ask yourself from time to time. What am I after in this Christian walk? What am I after? Am I after just a better life? Better car? Nicer clothes? Bigger house? Stuff. He says superficial. Jesus, actually, we just read where Jesus said, if you will really seek this, the kingdom of God first, he said, all that stuff, that's just side benefits. You don't even, he didn't even say you had to pray for it. Well, awful quiet in here. Prove for yourself what that perfect will of God is, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. For you. We're talking about this process. We're talking about what? Going through by way of the cross so that what? We can walk in resurrection life. We want to walk in peace and joy. We want to walk in patience and long-suffering. We want to walk in goodness and faithfulness and perseverance. We want to walk in the love of God. We want to walk in peace. We want to walk in victory. We want to walk in authority over all the works of the darkness. That, listen, that's on the resurrection side. You don't do that in yourself. Your flesh doesn't give you victory. Are you listening? Your old way of thinking won't produce victory in your life. It will produce conformity with this world. Remember Paul, he wrote to the Corinthians. We talked about this. He wrote to the Corinthians. He said, all that Christ has is yours. You belong to Him. He belongs to God. All the promises, all the blessings, all the gifts of God are yours. Then he said that in the first three chapters. And then he went over there to the fourth chapter. He said, and you're still carnal. You're carnal. He said, you've got all kind of strife and divisions. And he said, it's separating you. Listen, Christ's body is not separated. What separates us? I know, a lot of times church growth comes through church splits. It's very unfortunate because that's not God's best. But I want to tell you what, no church split has come over the fact where somebody just got up and said, you know what? You guys are so holy. I mean, you guys have got it. You've got the answer. You've got the solution. I mean, I see Jesus in you. I mean, you know, and we're just in the way. We're just going to go over here and get out. God, boy, y'all got it. I guarantee you, I've never heard of a church split by that way. No, it's, they're all in error. I'm right and they're wrong. Bless God. If they don't believe it, I'll whip them. We're going to go off and do our thing. Come on. What's that? That's flesh, isn't it? It's flesh. And we all have it. But he says, what you got to do? You got to crucify it. Otherwise, you don't walk in the resurrection life. You know what it'll be? It'll be like the old thing, you know, with the carrot and the stick, you know, you put in front of the horse. You know, he's right. You got the stick out there and you got the carrot out there. And he can see it. Every step he takes, he doesn't get a bit closer. And many times in the body of Christ, even in us full gospel, word of faith, charismatic, Pentecostal, whatever your label is, non-denominational, whatever you are, you know, spirit-filled people. Well, it's like the carrot and the stick. We hold it out here. Oh, yes, victory over all the works of the enemy. Yes, peace and joy. And it seems like the more we walk, we don't get any closer. Because you can't obtain it that way. The Bible says about Jesus, that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Here's the thing. You're going to have to see beyond just the momentary denying of yourself to see what it produces. What does it produce? What's it going to produce in your life? It's going to produce resurrection life. It's going to be like the woman, you know, that came with the alabaster box and she broke it. And when it was broken, what? The contents, the aroma, the richness, the fragrance of it came forth, didn't it? And it's the same way with us. If we do not renew our minds, if we do not say no to this carnal nature, this flesh, if we do not submit it to the will of God, then what's going to happen is, you know, we're going to be like the carrot and the stick. We're always, Paul put it this way. He said, always learning and never coming to the knowledge of it. Oh, yes. Yes, we got victory. Yes, we got victory. Yes, we got. They keep telling me we got victory. They keep telling me it's there. God, where is it? Yeah, there it is. You know? I say humorously, it's kind of like the guy, you know, who's in court. My time's up. I gotta stop. Guy was in court, and you know, and he was an eyewitness of something that happened, you know, at night. And of course, the other attorney was getting up trying to refute him, you know, about whether he could see or not. And he said, now you saw that, you actually saw him do this, and you were, you know, 100 yards away at night, and you saw that? Yeah, I mean, you could see it, you know. Well, how far can you see at night? He said, well, I don't know. How far is it to the moon? Sometimes that's the way our goofy thinking is, isn't it? You know? And so the pastor said we have victory. The pastor said we have victory over sin. The pastor said we have victory over the works of the devil. You know, and you got so many Christians, they get discouraged. We're not discouraged because the Christian way is hard. We get discouraged because we never seem to be making progress. Come on. Isn't that right? Man, most of us. How many of you, life's just been it's just been so easy. I mean, listen, we're not afraid of something difficult. That's not been our problem. Our problem is that the way it's been presented was like all we had to do was just come and sit and listen and we got it. That's not the way it is. And you know, I could tell you that, make you feel good for a while. But after a while, you'd realize it wasn't true, and you'd go find another church here in the area somewhere. That's why we got so many, you know, cruise-o-matics, church hoppers. It's because they go one place, and they tell them, oh, you know, don't worry, everything's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Well, here's the thing. That could be true, but here's what are you doing with the truth? What are you doing with this process? Are you walking it out? Are we moving past just it being about me and now it's about others? Are you listening? It's about others. And this is what the Christian life is meant to be. And if you want to know the joy and the fulfillment and the reality of it, then this is the place we've got to begin to move. Gethsemane, the cross, resurrection life. We call it the fruit of the Spirit. We call it victory. We can call it all kinds of things, but basically what it is, it's resurrection life. Now, we've read where God's already obtained it for us. But now it's up to you and I. What are we going to do? Let me read you one last portion of Scripture. Are you still out there? Okay. Stretch if you have to. I'm going to dismiss in about 5 minutes. How many of you give me 5 more minutes? 5 more minutes. That's all I need. 5. Mm-hmm. What are y'all laughing about? Oh, Lordy. Stop laughing. Just kidding. Y'all all, you know about me too well, don't you? Philippians chapter 3, we'll be about verse 11. Well, let's back at verse 10. He said, for my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly. And that I may, in the same way, come to know the power outflowing from His resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share His sufferings to be continually transformed in spirit into His likeness, even to His death, in the hope that if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me from among the dead, even while in the body. So it's clear there, he's not just talking about the resurrection when Jesus appears. Now, we all know this. You could go up there on Okeechobee to the Mercedes Lexus dealer, and for $10 you could buy anything they got, right? No, yeah, you wouldn't even go up there. Make a fool of yourself offering somebody $10, would you? But yet we think somehow that, like Paul said here, we're going to obtain all of this with almost a minimal of effort. Boy, it's quiet in here. You thinking? It's true. You know? And you know, I can preach and make you all jump the chair. I wish you could. And do all that. And that's good in its place. But I'm going to tell you what. We've got to get to this place. Because you know what? We've got a world to reach. Jesus didn't just die for you. I said He didn't just die for you. He did die for you, but not just for you. There are tens of thousands outside these walls, all here in South Florida. Listen, God's counting on His people to reach them. But here's the thing. If we're wrapped up in ourselves, if we're so wrapped up in our own world, our own little bitty thinking, our own little selves and all that, how's He going to use us? I'm so preoccupied with my problems, I don't realize that there's people around me that, man, they'd make my problems look like a hangnail compared to cancer. But I'm so wrapped up. Why? Because I haven't renewed my mind. I haven't crucified the flesh. I haven't been willing to pay that price. So that what? God could use me. Why did Paul and people like him, why did he change the world? Why did he do it? We know why. Just what we just read. He said, I didn't count my life as precious to myself. But I do count what? What I hold as precious. The life of God, the knowledge of God, the salvation of God. It's precious. It's in this earthen treasure. And I want to give it away. Give it away. Give it away to everybody I can. So I want to encourage you. You think about this. You contemplate on this. And begin this. Start renewing your mind. If you haven't done that, that's the place to start. Get into the Bible. And when God says something about it, that's what you got to program up here. You got to start reprogramming your computer up here with the Word of God. With the Word of God. And then when your flesh rises up, says, bless God, I don't know. You got to what? You got to say, okay, there's got to be enough of God's Word and spiritual strength on the inside of you. You say to that flesh, no. I said, no. Any of you ever had a new puppy or something in the house? Remember when you first got him? He had a wheel and you had a wheel. And for a while there, it was the battle of the wheels. You do not use the bathroom there. He says, oh, yes, I do. It was a battle of the wheels, wasn't it? Hopefully, eventually, your wheel won out, right? But it was a process, wasn't it? It was a process. And it was like you said, it was messy too. But it was a process. Same thing. You get your mind renewed. Every day you get in God's Word, you renew that mind. You think on God's Word. You meditate on God's Word. You speak it out your mouth. I told you how when I first got saved, man, I used to write them down on 3x5 cards. I'd put them in my pocket. Man, I had a break. I whip them things out, man. Because I knew I had to. Lord of mercy. You might feel sorry for me now, but if you'd only known me then, you could appreciate how far I've come. Amen. That's what we want to do. Because here's the thing. Like Paul said, I want to obtain it. I want to obtain it. I don't want to just talk about it. I don't want to just, you know, oh yeah, I heard, you know, Brother Copeland's got it. Well, that's great. I'm glad for Brother Copeland. But I want it. I'm glad Brother so-and-so's got it, you know. Dr. Graham's got it. Great, but I want it. Or whoever you can name that's a spiritual. You know, that's great, but I want it. I want it. I want God to use me. Amen? Because I know, as imperfect as I've allowed God to work in me, I know what it's done for me. And I know what it can do for others. Amen? Did you stand on your feet? Hallelujah. I know your flesh is saying, time to eat. Just say no. Say no, no, no. For a little while longer. A little while longer. You know, I know, you know, it's like, boy, Pastor, this is kind of heavy. Yeah, it is. But it's the gospel. And like I said, you know, I believe this. I will stand before God. And I want to be able, as much as I can, to say, God, I did my best to tell them. I didn't hold it back because I was afraid somebody might not like it and leave, or somebody might get mad, or somebody might say this or that. Well, I'm tell you what. If you're gonna be used to God, and you're gonna be in the ministry, and I don't mean just like a, you know, like we say, like a pastor or a preacher, but God wants to use all of us. Listen, listen, get ready. There's gonna be a target on you. And if you're afraid of getting your feelings hurt, then you're in the wrong business. Isn't that right? But here's the thing. The rewards are great. The rewards are great because the resurrection life, that's what we're after. You know, remember we said, you know, there's not one dead person in the graveyard that's struggling about one thing in this world. And let's be honest, most of our struggles come because we're not fully dead yet. Isn't that true? That's the way it is with me. So I want to pray for you. Would you bow your heads just for a moment? Hallelujah. Father, Lord, this word for all of us, Lord, especially for me, for all of us, Lord, this is a word for us. Lord, we want to go through the process. And Lord, I remind us all that we're not in this by ourselves. We have a helper, the Holy Spirit, who's going to help us. You said He would lead us, He would guide us, He would teach us. He would be there to give us strength and grace as we go through this process. But Lord, Father, I pray every one of us, we will make that decision. If we've not already, we will make the decision, Lord, that we are going. We're going to Gethsemane. We're going to submit our will. We're going to crucify the flesh. We're going to let that new life within us come forth and dominate us. We're going to renew our mind to the Word of God. We're going to live out this life. We're not just going to admire it from afar, but Lord, we're going to embrace it. We're going to pursue it. Father, we believe, Father, by the help of the Holy Spirit, we shall obtain it. We shall obtain it. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. You keep your head bowed just for a moment longer. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if my life is right with God. I'm not sure if I was to die today that I would go to heaven. I'm not sure. I want to be sure. I want to be sure that I'm saved, that my sins are forgiven, that heaven is my home, my eternal destination. If that's you and you want to make sure and you'd like for me to pray for you, would you just lift your hand, wave it at me a little bit? Anybody in the room? Anybody? I'm looking around. I don't see anybody. Hallelujah. Father, again, we glorify you. We thank you, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that as we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Look, Father, like the widow, Lord, like the woman who brought the alabaster box, oh God. Father, it's not a matter of you breaking it. It's a matter of us breaking it. She broke her own box. And we want to break it before you. And let the aroma of Jesus that is within come out and bless all who are around us. Use us this week, oh God. Stir our hearts, I pray. Use us. Use us, oh God, to touch lives around us. Open our eyes to hurting people. And lay the fragrance of Jesus go forth in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.